Accession number 30271, reel 14.
Craftsman Walker, reel 14. You were saying that the frontier line didn't extend very far out along the beach, and that's would have been easy to swim round and
so
on.
I would think so, yes.
And that it wasn't guarded.
No, it wasn't guarded.
You do mention in your account again two Spaniards who were engaged in sabotage in Gibraltar and were convicted because they were working for Germany. I think Gordon Cuenca was one and Munoz was another. Do you remember anything about them?
No. The nearest I got to that was when three of us had made a canoe and the canoe wouldn't float. It would tip upside down. And so I made a lead-weighted keel, and it was all right, but it was difficult to paddle. So we eventually made up a small yacht. One of the persons dropped out. The other person was rather silly. He would do silly things. And I'd taken out the yacht and my colleague, and he was in the steering wheel position, if you like, in front of me. And we were out on the bay, and the wind dropped, and this was in the evening, fairly late, and we were absolutely stationary. Now, we had a paddle, but it was far from adequate. The net result was that a Navy boat came out, and it was a motor torpedo boat, I think, fairly big one. And it said, "Now, can you make your way back to the your anchor point? Because if it's in getting towards the dark, we shall shoot you out of the water." And he said, "How are you going to get back?" I said, "Well, we can't." I was the spokesman. I said, "Well, we can't because the wind's dropped." And he says, "Well, would you like a tow?" Oh, and by the way, he was using a loud hailer. And so the boat was towering above us. We were in the water, and he'd be right on the edge, bawling this out. He could have just said to us, "What's the problem?" And needless to say, I had an audience before long. And they threw us a line, and I said to Chamley, the chappy in front, "Now look, whatever you do, don't tie that line." I said, "Because if it starts to go too fast," I says, "we could be pulled over on the side." And sure enough, it gradually increased speed. Now, this motor torpedo boat had counter-rotating propellers, and so we got the wash from the propeller on the keel on one side, and we'd shoot to one side, and then we'd be seesawing backwards and forwards. And the captain come again with his loud hailer, says, "Can you all swim?" You know, bawling it out. I said, "Well, I can, but I don't know about my mate." I can't remember what he said. And anyway, he actually increased speed, and we were in real difficulties, but we did get back. Now, I can only assume that was a case where they were prepared to knock out anything that was foreign to them on the water.
So looking out for unauthorised vessels coming
and
into the
water.
And
I was one of them.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, he had his little laugh and we got back all right. But no, that's the nearest thing that I could say to sabotage.
Now, coming on to the business with the lifting gear, you describe a fatal accident in 1943.
Now, the third addendum,
yes,
I have included the name Flight Lieutenant Wickenden.
Yes.
He was the flight engineer that took over from the chappy who got burnt with being smoking at the same time as he was doing the
cleaning
out a cylinder. And so he was a replacement. He was a gentleman. He came amongst us quite regularly where I didn't ever meet the other one. We saw this chappy around as a serviceman. and he never wore a cap, so therefore we weren't saluting or anything like this. It was just sort of informal communications. On the night that I think you're referring to, there was one of our aircraft fully loaded up with fuel, depth charges on board. It had the batteries on board, and so it would be loaded up to near enough 20 tons. And I did hear the figure that it was actually 19. Now, this aircraft didn't get off. It belly landed before it took off, so I can only assume that the undercarriage must have collapsed. I came in on the action when I saw one wing down and one of the undercarriages, the starboard side was already in place and it was taking some of the weight. Now, the port side, then there was a 5-ton mobile crane, and this was in the process, or had been in the process, of lifting the port wing. Now, it was up to about shoulder height when I approached the situation. This was in the evening. And the person in command was Group Captain Bollard, and he was the station commander. And I hope I've got his name right. It's only hearsay name, is that. Now, he was very impatient because he knew that there was other aircraft to take off, and of course those that had already got into flight would have to come back into land again. Now, a 5-ton crane lifting half an aircraft is wrong. And the undercarriage had started to drop, and it was nearly in position. Now, it commanded Flight Lieutenant Wickenden to go under and lock it. And it barely got underneath it when the cable, the steel hawser, snapped.
This is the cable of the crane?
The cable of the crane snapped. And the net result is that he was killed instantly. And I wouldn't like to be the MO people trying to extricate him, because he had got into the undercarriage and area. Now, the group captain immediately turned on his heel and walked away. Now, here again, I've got opinions. What ought to have been done, and of course as a rigger I probably ought to have thought about it, but I was stood right against at the tail end, not the tail end, the trailing edge of the main plane. In fact, I got covered in dust, so it's a near-do for me. And what should have been done is that when they got the aircraft partly into position, they ought to have got a tripod hydraulic jack, got that into place and took part of the weight, and that would have been a far better way of lifting that main plane.
What sort of weight could one of those jacks bear?
Oh, I should think they could easily take 10 tonne.
They could?
Yes. They were really solid, but they were very heavy to shift. And remember, we were on compacted sand, and so you need a group of people to move them. But they were powerful. And, of course, it didn't need a lot of pumping action, but it was slow to work.
Yeah. And was it pumped up by using a lever that you would raise and depress, like a car jack?
Yes, like a car jack. Right. And it was continuous pumping. And you could get a good extension. And, I mean, the circumference of the wheel that was gradually being wound up would be, I should think, 2 inches across.
Right.
So it was a substantial lift. It was able to... It was designed for lifting
aircraft.
You couldn't get gantries underneath very well. That's the wooden platform devices. They were just a bit awkward for, but that should have been what should have been done.
And you were saying also that later on the aircraft was lifted by the use of airbags, and this was the first time you'd seen.
Now, where they came from, I've got no idea. Because we hadn't any, as far as I know. So they must have been brought in from somewhere else. And I can't think what they'd be used for.
How did they operate? Were they, presumably they must have been pumped up by some kind of system?
Yes, they're just like one of these like bouncy castles that you get today. It was just a broad bag, and this was more or less I can't even remember the shape. The total action of that I didn't see, but that's the way I heard it had been done. But I've never met with them.
When the group captain turned and walked away from the incident, who took command of it and took charge?
I left, and I don't know who took charge. But then I was called out again. I was told to be on guard. Now, why I had to be on guard on a broken-down aircraft, I don't know. And I stayed all night with that. There was no relief, and so I was there till the following morning. And I'll assure you that my mind was in a turmoil the whole of that night. It was a bad night for me, because... I respected the man, and I thought, well, that's two of our flight engineers gone. Anyway, that's how it goes.
What about the other men in the ground crew? Do you think they were also affected as much as you were by this incident?
Maybe not so much, because it's surprising, a lot of these accidents, there was very little audience to watch, see what was going on. But I don't know, I just had a fascination to do this. I don't think there's more I can add.
What happened then to Flight Lieutenant Wickenden? Presumably he was buried on the rock.
Now that I don't know. And I wouldn't like to have been the senior officer that had to write a letter to his, whoever it was, parents or wife. Because it would be a very difficult thing to explain.
Yes.
And I doubt whether they would.
And you say in Group Captain Bollard, did you see anything much of him, or was this a very...
No, this was not the only occasion that he was there, and obviously it had been reported to him, and he just took over, and he wasn't a man to be questioned. I mean, I could have been directed if he'd known who I was.
To get underneath?
Get underneath, yes.
Sounds like you
just,
had a
you just simply
escape.
Said, get under there, man, and that was it. And it snapped. It barely got underneath. And, of course, the crowd of, the cloud of dust was rushing out, and I felt the wind as it went down. So it was rather dramatic. And it'll never forget.